So we parked and got out. I started walking up the door, and the police officer stopped. And he said, you can't go past here. And I said, well, I said, I believe the young man in that apartment building is my son. The young man that's dead in that apartment building is my son. And he said, there's been no confirmed death. And then as soon as he said that, he said, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, we met in 1976 at Waldorf College in Forest City, Iowa, which is where Jan is from, is Forest City, Iowa. And I was a freshman, went out for the football team. And I was one of the few kids, out-of-state kids. I was kind of lost, would you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'd run into each other a lot at the mailbox. The post office was in the student center. And I had hair down to my middle of my back at the time. and just kind of a wavered look. I think she felt sorry for me. So she's got an outgoing personality. She's a really nice person. So she kind of reached out a little bit, and it just kind of went from there.
Yes. Yeah. So we dated then, and I was a sophomore, and I actually worked for the football coach, and so he didn't know his way to the football field, and
I
directed him to where he needed to go, and we just got to be good friends, and then we started dating, and I spent the summer out here, and then after he graduated the next year, then we got married, and then we moved out here.
Britt came along in 1981. Mm-hmm. We got married in 78, mm-hmm. July of 78, and Britt was born in end of October of 1981. Carly came along in November.
Of 87.
Of 87.
Yeah. It was the two of us for the first 6 years, because Dave was busy working. We were on one income. And so Britt and I really formed a very close bond. And that went right up until he succumbed to his drug addiction. We realized it was Carly before we realized it was Britt.
So my name's Carly Snyder. I'm 33 years old. The first time I started experimenting with drugs was in high school, a little here and there, but it really wasn't my thing. I got in a car wreck when I was in my early 20s and got on a whole slew of different medications, and that's what kind of hooked me. And my doctor got in trouble, and I was all of a sudden without prescriptions and dependent on opiates. So when I ended up being addicted and never going through withdrawals, I ended up having to buy opiates off the streets. Then as time went on and laws got stricter and more doctors got in trouble, things were harder to find, and my habit was worse. So I ended up getting hooked on heroin and having my dealer shoot me up for the first time, and it was kind of off to the races after that.
It was just one of those things that it just continued to worsen, and we knew that something was going on, but we were very naive to the fact. It wasn't that we turned a blind eye to it or didn't think it was happening to us. We just did really not know how to deal with the drug world, because we had never done that before. So we got our eyes opened real wide, real quick, with both of our kids. He struggled every day with saying, I know what God wants me to do, and I just can't get there. And we would talk about it. He was very upfront with me. We had a lot of hard days, Dave and I together, Dave and I separately with the kids. And Britt just said, it's all I think about in the morning, it's all I think about at night before I go to bed.
So my use of drugs affected my relationship with my parents greatly. It turned from a relationship that was open and trusting and somewhat both of them I spent time with a lot to being guarded and lying and cheating and stealing and eventually taking from both of them and just being a relationship that kind of crumbled right in front of all of our faces.
Nobody has ever said this is how you handle it, you know? I mean, tough love? I mean, there's got to be some tough love. I mean, I can't tell you how bad it hurts when you think your kid's in need, but you know you can't give them $50. You know, when you can no longer believe, hey, Dad, can you help me out? I'm not going to get paid till Friday, and I owe this bill, or I owe that bill. Nah, I can't do that anymore. But also, I wasn't going to put him on the street. You know, it doesn't matter. I'm getting defensive, but I didn't care what anybody thought. I wasn't going to put him on the street. You know, he lived his last 6 months on this earth with us, you know, and I'm glad for that. It got the last few years that I realized, man, this is pretty big. I suppose probably when I had to go get him out of the hospital from overdoses, and then you realize, you know, this is bad, and then you realize that's when God's kicking in, you know, you're God help me, God strengthen me. And you realize, well, I'm getting through this. And you know, is it always the answers you want? No.
And Britt told me, he said, I am going to succumb to this because I can't give it up. And he said to me, one day I was down in the kitchen and he walked downstairs and he said, Mom, you know that this is not going to have a good ending. And he was in tears and he said, a long time ago he gave his life to the Lord, but he said, I hit my knees upstairs today and I just said, Lord, please, I am so sorry. You know where my heart is, but I can't give it up. He said, because I know that if I die and you don't know where I am, you will not be able to get through this. So I'm telling you right now, this is what I'm doing. And I hugged him and I told him thank you. And right then, the solace of, I knew it was going to happen. I just didn't know that soon. It was a Tuesday and he had called me and said, I'm on my way home pretty soon because Carly needed the car. They were sharing a car at the time. And it was noon and he didn't come home. And I just talked to him at 10:30. He was supposed to be home at noon. And I knew right then that he was dead.
I was supposed to go to McConaughey to watch our junior high play that night. And so I told Russ I'd be home around 8:30. Well, when we got out of practice, I just had a bad feeling too, you know. And I thought, well, I'm just going to go home. And so we weren't home very long, and I wasn't home very long, and started making phone calls. But
not living in the drug world, we didn't know his friends, and we had a hard time finding out where he was.
It was dark when they finally called back, and I said, and I told Janet, I'll go in and see what's going on. And she goes, I want to go too. And we both like, he's dead.
We knew
it.
Yeah.
You know, and then when you pull into the apartment complex and there's three squad cars with the lights going on. So we parked and got out. And I started walking up the door and the police officer stopped. And he said, you can't go past here. And I said, I believe the young man in that apartment building is my son. The young man that's dead in that apartment building is my son. And he said, there's been no confirmed death. And then as soon as he said that, he said, I'm sorry.
Okay.
So we knew that.
Yeah.
And it was confirmed in. So the only thing we could do was just hang around.
He actually died of cardiac arrest due to fentanyl poisoning.
It was 36 years old when he passed away.
Britt's death had an effect on my sobriety, ultimately, because after his death, not right after, but I'd say a year after, I relapsed. And I thought, what am I doing? I had sober time. I had my son back in my life. I was living a normal life. And when I began using again, Britt was ultimately what kept popping up in my head. And I felt that I not only owed myself and my parents and Ethan more, but I owed Britt a lot more.
So we had the service on Sunday here at the church, and in the meantime, Brad counseled with us and talked with us and this and that, and several nice things from people, and people just came out of the woodwork to love on us and care for us, and we were just blown away by the amount of people that showed their respects and how much love they had for us. And we happened to be at the service, and in came the people that he, the house that he died at. So the sermon that we had that morning was about these doors are always open for anybody to come in. So Brad came up to me and Dave, and he said, they're out in the narthex. And I wondered, how do you feel about that? And I said, well, if I listen to your sermon today, they should be allowed to come in. And it was okay, because
I spoke to him.
Yeah. It.
Yeah.
This was Britt's own demon.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Nobody forced him to do that. I didn't blame anybody for anything. I'm so sorry that it ever had to happen and that he felt like that. But you can't blame it on anybody when that's what they choose to do. So I woke up Sunday morning, and that's the first time I had a heavy heart. I could hardly breathe. And I hit my knees and I said, Lord, you promised you'd carry me through this day. And all of a sudden it was just like, and away I went and never looked back. And I miss him every day. I've broken down and cried here and there. There's days I do better than others, but most of the time I just really do think his chains are broken.
Yeah.
I knew he was in a better place, and I can't be selfish enough to wish him back. Both the kids grew up in church, and both of them knew how I have always felt about having God in my life. And he's where I drew my strength from. And so all these times when we would go through things with Carly, I would say, well, we're going to bring you home because I prayed about it, and that's what God told me I was supposed to do. I speak with him, I hear him. He speaks to me. And even though it wasn't easy, and it could be 2 days before she started in again, or 2 months, or however long it was, but I kept telling her, I said, until you get your life right with God, you will not win this battle.
What led me to get sober were, there are many things. I think Drug Point obviously was a turning point, because it was that structure I needed to give me some sobriety time and to give me some time in recovery to figure out how to not just live sober, but to start enjoying life again, to figure out the things I liked, to show myself I could be the mother I knew I could be, to be the daughter, to be the sister, to be all those things that I had lost and forgotten about in addiction. God ultimately led me there and had played a hand, because I remember sitting in jail, in my jail cell, and just like turning everything over. I had tried so many times myself to figure this out and to do it myself, and it just couldn't happen. I had to release it to him and give it to him and know that if I believed in him wholeheartedly and I did the best I could every day to work to get a closer relationship with him, that that he would take care of me and pull me through it.
You're going to be one of the 10% if Jesus Christ is the number one person in your life. And when you get that and you mean it, and God knows where your heart is, that will be where things change. And I slowly saw her changing, and she'd ask this and that, and what do you think I should do? And we'd talk about it, and I would just really tell her from, I'd say, I have prayed about it, and this is how I feel, but you need to pray about it and see what God wants you to do, and you need to listen to him. And I brought Ethan in with a lot of it. He needs a godly mother. He needs a godly grandma. He needs a godly grandpa.
And then from me handing my life back over to God, I decided I wanted to get baptized. I was baptized as a baby and I always grown up in church, but obviously I strayed for quite a while. I wanted to become pure and new again and make that commitment in front of others and with my family that I care most about. So from that day on, I have really tried to immerse myself with growing closer to God. I've made it a daily commitment to pray, to make sure that my decisions as much as possible are in liking of him. I've made a commitment to teach my son about the Lord and to grow him up with strong faith in him and to put my 100% into the commitment that I made the day I got baptized. If I could tell my parents how they have encouraged me in my walk with the Lord, I don't know if I could really come with the right words to thank them. Because of them and God, I am where I am today. I know that I would be so far away from this point in life if it wasn't for their continued encouragement, their love, their faith, their strength. They really have helped mold me into the better person that I am today.